Well, thinking of the themes of the Bible, people who heard first about Jesus coming and were impacted most directly by it, themes of hope and fear and Jesus in the middle. When I thought about my childhood days and Christmas, I do remember having some fear around Christmas time. Different fears like, well, would I be able to find a gift that would be good for, you know, my parents and things like that? And even during the legendary Santa Claus days where you take St. Nick, you know, we were raised with the St. Nick thing and Santa Claus, go to see Santa Claus. And I was very afraid of Santa Claus. I don't know why. He was big and he was strange. And I didn't want to sit on his lap. And I was very suspicious of him because, you know, you sit on his lap, he says, and what would you like for Christmas? And I was almost too embarrassed to say half the time. But whatever I would tell him, he would always say, now make sure you tell your parents what you want also. And I said, wait a minute, something's up with this. This might not be real over here in terms of what he provided. But even thinking about God himself, it shakes our soul in a good fear way when we think of the birth of Jesus or him coming to us as Savior. You know, nobody else is going to get our attention like he would, being God Almighty. So if you look at the birth recorded in Matthew and Luke, you'll find a lot of hope and fear surrounding Jesus' first coming. We sang the words, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in you tonight in Bethlehem. Not just the town, but who would be in the town. And any hope or fear that we have in life always ends up taking us back to the Lord. In some way, because we're shaken at our soul, we're looking to him, or we're looking with confidence that some good may come, and of course, we look first to God for those gifts. So we find the Lord in the middle of it all, and the first person mentioned as being afraid is Zechariah. Zechariah was the father of John the Baptist. He and Elizabeth would become John's parents. They waited a long time for that. And so the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and says, oh, you're going to have a child and you're to name him John. And Zechariah is startled and gripped with fear, the Bible says. And you can imagine you and I would be also. So he questions Gabriel. How can I be sure what you're telling me is true? And Gabriel says, well, I serve in the presence of God. And, you know, you seem to have a lot of unbelief about God giving you this good word, and so you're not going to be able to speak until John the Baptist is born. So that's quite a intimidating thing. All in the midst of good news, God is certainly getting Zechariah's attention. And when fear grips our life, Jesus said fear and anxiousness would choke out the good seed of God's word when he taught about the parable of the sower. So if we just respond to God wanting to run away from him or push him away, say, you just can't believe that, then we can't hear the goodness that God would come to bring in our lives and the changes that he would bring about. So he blesses Zechariah in spite of himself, and God comes through for Zechariah and Elizabeth. And keep in mind, God's word in the Old Testament says quietness and calmness is related to trusting God. And so as all the characters struggled with that, I don't feel calm. I don't feel quiet. I'm disturbed by what's happening. That we could turn to God and he would provide that ability to trust him and to never be afraid to tell God, oh, I'm just totally upset about this and overwhelmed. Joseph and Mary, the shepherds, they were all initially troubled and fearful also because of the impact of the message and the angels that came to them. But God was faithful, again, even when they were fearful. Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph. Shepherds did get to go and see. There's Jesus. And even though they were very much afraid. So, fear, even though it's not a pleasant experience, and God addresses it much in the Bible, God can use the fear and anxiousness that we have in a redemptive manner, that we would turn to Him in trust. Old-time Bible teachers say that in heaven, people still have a trembling fear of God. 100% close to Him for sure, knowing His love, His unconditional love and welcome and grace and mercy, but still knowing that God is God. And all the Bible people who responded well to Jesus kept that good fear of God. Mary said in Luke chapter 1, God's mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. And think about the different people in the Bible who had fear and were anxious. Most of the time they ran to Jesus. The man who was blind needed help. The man who crippled, couldn't get up. Somebody help me get through the roof. Or he needed Jesus to come and say to him, pick up your mat and walk. The lepers, you know, they lived isolated, anxious existence. They went to Christ. Greedy Zacchaeus with a guilty conscience. He runs ahead, climbs a tree. Maybe if I see him, maybe this will change my life. Okay. So the ones who have troubled souls often ran to Jesus. The self-confident and self-assured, they didn't seem to have time for Jesus. Rich young ruler, I think I'm doing okay with God. I keep His commandments. Well, he walked away sad. Pilate, ultimately no time for Jesus. Herod, definitely no time for Jesus. So you see the word, it still goes on today. If we trust in ourselves, we won't have a chance to seek God, to look to Christ. There's a translation of Romans chapter 5, I believe it is. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. One translation says, when we were still helpless, Christ died for us. So if you feel helpless and fearful, you know, God can use that as getting your attention to be drawn to Him. Certainly happened for Mary, Joseph, and Elizabeth, Zechariah. And when you think about it, God would be very mean and lacking compassion if He ever said, you know, anybody who shows fear in this life, I'm not going to help you. Get your act together, and then I'll come and help you. Well, that's a dumb religion way of thinking of things. You know, and sometimes as believers, we mean well by saying, well, if you're anxious or fearful, that's a sin. So if you have faith, you wouldn't be anxious and fearful. Usually people who preach that or teach that aren't going through any fearful or anxious experiences in life. And it's very easy to say that. If they really believe that, they should be at Kennywood at the bottom of the roller coaster, yelling at the people, screaming for their dear life. What are you doing screaming? It's a sin to be screaming on that roller coaster. Okay. Obviously, God knows our frame. His mercies are everlasting on those of a troubled heart. And He's near to those who are crushed in spirit. So Jesus was born to rescue the fearful, the anxious, and to offer His peace. That's good news for a world that's definitely shaken, definitely anxious. John chapter 14, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. He said this to disciples who were troubled and afraid. He had to tell them, don't let your hearts be troubled and afraid. I know that's what they are. You trust in God. Trust in me. There's houses available for you, mansions. So if you are fearful and anxious, know Jesus comes to you. And He comes to you with help and strength and peace and teaching you a confidence in Him. And pass that on to people this time of season who are troubled. Jesus came for the troubled. And then there's hope at Jesus' first coming. Hopes and fears and hope. The people needed hope. They were definitely in a big bind for a long time. God hadn't authoritatively spoken to the whole nation for 400 years. That was a long time to wait. From Malachi to Matthew, years of silence. Malachi gave the word of God, and then the first 100 years, nothing. 200, 300, 400. And then, could you imagine, you know, looking and waiting. God must have forgot us because here we are under the Romans and things aren't good at all. And then Mary and Joseph are given the word. And so after a lot of wishing and hoping and thinking and praying, if the old Dusty Springfield song is up there on the 45s. But hope is a confidence that God is with us. The name Emmanuel. Hope is a confidence that God is with us. And God's not just with us taking up space. Okay, He's with us to help and to work. Jesus, who will save His people from their sins. And Jesus said this, very comforting. He said, "My Father is always working, and I am working too." So sometimes when you feel hopeless, it's like, I can't see any light at the end of this tunnel. Or the only tunnel I see is problems and troubles. But Jesus said, "My Father's working and I am working too." There's a new movie out. I wouldn't recommend it, but called The Silence, and it has something to do with trusting Jesus in the midst of rough times. In fact, it had to do with Christian missionaries in Japan and all the persecution they faced. And supposedly one of the heroes of the movie says, you know, he says, he holds on to the truth that God is with them. He says, God is with us, but we just can't hear Him. We just can't hear Him right now. But God is with us. So there can be hope even in silence, the silence of God. And all the people at the time of Jesus' birth really did need hope. Elizabeth and Zechariah, they were a couple with grief, but they still worshiped and trusted God. Mary and Joseph, when the Bible says about Joseph, you know, he was afraid. He wanted to quietly divorce Mary. I think back then, if Mary was found to be, you know, with child and it wasn't Joseph's, I guess if he wanted to press the point, you know, and the community wanted to press the point, they could have had her killed. They could have had her stoned by saying, "This is something bad about this." And so Mary and Joseph, in the midst of their fear, only God could make it right. And they couldn't imagine how right He would make it. Shepherds, in spite of their fear, they had hope. And they had no advancement of career on the horizon. They were going to live in the field till they died, but they got to see Jesus. And amazing that of all the people God would tell the good news to, he would tell them. And Simeon, later in the story, he's waiting with hope to see the Messiah before he dies. God gave him a message, I guess, in his soul. "I'm going to see the Messiah before I die." We have two gals in our church, and only time will tell. I hope they're right. They say, "I think Jesus is going to come back before I die." And I'm sure many believers have hoped and thought that. So maybe they have a Simeon call in their life. But God came through for Simeon. And when he got to hold Jesus a little later in the story, he said, "Now let your servant depart in peace. Now I can die in peace now because I've seen Jesus. My hope has been realized." And really, that's your story and my story. We could die in peace if today was our day. You know, we could die in peace because we've seen the Savior in our soul. And you could really know that. You know, you say, "I don't know if I could die in peace today. I need more time." Jesus is your Savior at this moment. And you could be as glad and content fulfilled as Simeon, at least I can die in peace now because I know Jesus is with me. And because Jesus is your peace and confident hope forever, your soul's at rest. And, you know, hope in the Bible is often connected to love. 1 Corinthians 13, these three abide, faith, hope, and love. And God's poured his love out into us. So when we have the opportunity to love others, that really keeps the hope going in our souls. It's a great fear, or a cure rather, for hopelessness and anxiety to love somebody else. And at Christmas time, you know, often those most troubled or broken, they have a contagious love to pass on. And when they pass on that love, they're not trapped so much by any pain they have in their own soul. We see Bible characters do this a number of times, just to share three: Job, Jeremiah, and the Apostle Paul. Job, talking to the Lord, or giving testimony about him, said this: though God kill me, yet I will hope in him. That's about as, you know, do or die as you can get. Full of pain physically and emotionally, yet he said, and even if God kills me, I'm still going to trust him. God can help us do that. And that's the way Jesus is. He's trustworthy. And then Jeremiah, in the book of Lamentations, he talks about how terrible things are for the three chapters. And then he says, but I call this to mind, so I have hope. God's mercies are new every morning. So Jeremiah, you know, who no one cried more than Jeremiah in the Bible. And yet he said, I have hope, and every morning God seems to do something to show he's still there and he's still in charge. And then the Apostle Paul, biggest guy in trouble in the New Testament, he tells Timothy, a younger Christian, he says, I greet you with the faith in Christ Jesus, our hope, our hope. And so isn't it great that somebody who's walked with God a really long time, and you know some, and if you don't know it, seek them out, you know, hey, you've been a follower of Jesus a long time, and here you are 70 or 80, and how has Jesus helped you? He said, they would say, well, Christ is, he's our hope. Our confidence is in him. And as the old spiritual says, he hasn't let us down yet. I'm going to put that yet in there for the human factor on things. And so when you see hopes and fears in your soul, hopes and fears in the world around you, just say, it's a good opportunity to turn to the Lord. He's right in the middle of it. And he's faithful to come to the fearful, and come to the ones losing hope. So find him coming to you. Let's pray together.